Today, we're headed for the verses 7 through 12 in the fourth chapter of the New Testament letter, 1 John, as we continue to look at how God receives glory in His church. I mean, that's been our subject matter, right? For all of these messages, how does God receive glory in His church? So today's passage is 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. A little bit more word of introduction. The series, and you know this, has begun from out of the words of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where the apostle praised God very encouragingly, saying, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So in the context of speaking of God's power at work within us, the apostle said, "To Him be then glory in the church." In preparation for taking a direct look at 1 John 4, 7 through 12, I want to say again, and this will be again, that it is a most blessed thing to know God's glory for what it is, to know Him for who He is. Splendid things are worth seeing. And excellence and majesty are worth perceiving. To be filled with wonder, to be filled with awe and regard and appreciation, those are all blessed conditions when the object of admiration is worthy and God is worthy. He receives glory then when His people see it, believe it, hope in it, and reflect it in all that they are and all that they do because of His redeeming work in them. Today, let's consider how God receives His glory in and through the church when we love one another. And you'll see it all over the verses that we read, how God receives glory in and through His church when we love one another. 1 John chapter 4 at verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Have you ever thought about it in this way? That with whatever kindness and care and mercy that you are able to show as a person redeemed by God's grace, that that relates to God's own essential attribute of love. That the love that you could show has its point of origin in Him. That it proceeds from Him to you and then through you to others. That there couldn't be any such thing except for who He is and the goodness of the love that is His own. We know that love is meaningful, that it is the most valuable thing. There is someone to thank. The nature of the thing, there is someone to thank for it, to appreciate and to regard with the most profound and glad honor. Therefore, the call upon us to love one another is a call to discover an aspect of His glory and to show it, to show His glory. More than once in the series, I've used the word discover. We're talking about God's glory, and I've used the word discover it. I do that because there is always more to appreciate than you have yet known in the character of God. Who He is. There's always more to appreciate than you have yet known. A deeper goodness, faithfulness, wisdom, integrity, strength, compassion. And that principle of the more to discover principle is evident, I think, when the Apostle Paul prayed that the believers in Ephesus might be granted the capacity to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Because that kind of prayer presumes that we always could be better acquainted than we are with Christ's love. It is always greater, always greater, and we could become better acquainted with it. Last week we read this, that grasping the reality of the dimensions of Christ's love is that by which we enter the fullness of all that we were created for and all that we've been redeemed for. To just better, by God's grace, grasp the dimensions of Christ's love. And I think in that, then, there is inspiration in our call to show love, in the fact that love is more worthwhile than you have yet known. I mean, if we ask in one kind of way, everybody say, yes, love is the most worthy thing. But there is more to know about the worth of giving love, because love is richer and deeper than you have yet known, because He is richer and deeper than you have yet known. In the matter of blessing others with the knowledge of the glory of God, love is what it's all about. And the passage said, if we care not to love, we don't even know Him. But when we come to know Him, and the more we know about Him, the more stirred we will be to show others His glory in love. I'm getting away from the text that you've seen, Beatrice, but at this point, I just want to say there's two things. One, that you and I would better know Him. That's what it's about. And then in the category of love, that we would better know it and know Him. The other is that we would be stirred then, believing and knowing who He is, to have Him known by somebody else, showing love that He might be better known. Dear friends, let us love one another. And to Him be glory in the church. We've spent a lot of time on how does He receive glory in the church? He will receive glory when we love one another. I should say a word about the statement, if we love one another, His love is made complete in us. What is being communicated there? Some translations say that His love is perfected in us. So what's being talked about? First of all, it does not mean that God's love is somehow lacking until we supply what He couldn't, and therefore we make it complete. It's not saying that, not at all. What it means instead, that His love reaches the goal that He ordained for it in us. His love becomes complete in that way, reaching the goal that He had given it as He loves us. So His love for us comes to its fruition in us. It bears the fruit He intended. And in that way, we can use the word that it becomes complete or is perfected in us when it comes to fruition in us. In the very same chapter in 1 John 4, later at verse 19, we read, "We love because He first loved us." When you think of your call to love others, and I want you to go direct to your own calling to love others. Have you thought about it in terms of His having the plan that His love for you bear fruit so that both you and the others could know Him? That's what I want to preach today. He has planned that His love for you would bear fruit so that He could be known in His love. Which brings me, in a focused way, to the life of the local church, and our local church, us, right here. The call to reflect the nature and character of God in our love that covers the whole scope of all our human interaction with anyone, anywhere, and at any time. Of course, we are called upon to represent Him in all our actions. But there is a plan and a purpose, and there is depth of purpose in God, and listen to me carefully, setting the lives of His believers, whom He's redeemed, in community of faith and a community of love in local churches just like this. Okay? That's plan. And it's obvious across the scriptures that He wants His love in redeeming you to express itself in this very kind of community, in face-to-face, long-term, ongoing relationship of faith family and of community that the local church is. And it's in that kind of situation that everything love is and everything love calls for has to come to bear all the time and substantially. When we're with one another and face to face and we know one another, it comes to bear substantially. The Lord's chosen venue for making His love manifest in the hearts of persons whom He has redeemed is not just incidental or brief or random or occasional. You know, did you smile at the person who helped you at the counter at Citibank? You should smile. I'm not even diminishing that. Not at all. I don't mean to diminish that at all. But this chosen thing called the local church involves deeply and thoroughly the whole texture of our lives together so that His love could be expressed in face-to-face relationship. And that's deep. That calls for a lot. I think that's on purpose. I think that's a plan. So that when, and I'm going to give a long list here, so that when a parent is aging and there is the kind of investment of care that requires energy and extended hours you never dreamed of, in that relationship there is love and there is community of relationship around that. When a brand new mom, first-time mom, is just getting used to the 24/7 scope and the 3 a.m. dimensions of taking care of a newborn, we have opportunity to love one another. When young people grapple with getting their feet on the ground in a worldview, understanding their world, surrounded by a swirl of conflicting ideas and competing rewards, there is a community of the knowledge of God and of love in which we have opportunity when there's opportunity to celebrate, hopes realized in a vocation, but also when there appears to be a brick wall for somebody, we have opportunity together in community, in the church, to love. And when sickness threatens, and when there is a time to mourn, when there is unfathomable loss, we have community. The assignment of the redeemed to live our love for one another is meant to run deep. And we're put in community on purpose for that. And when you, who may have been strong at many points, find yourself floundering or bewildered, we're in community. We are put together so that we may encourage one another to better know the faithfulness and love of the God who redeemed us. And we are put on assignment for one another's sake. And when the person next to you may come from a very different set of life circumstances from you, but needs your friendship, we are put together on purpose by God. When someone is new and still feels like an outsider, we are to love and to look toward and to love. When we're trying to figure out together hard things, what are we supposed to do with the election results and the direction of our nation? What are the threats and what are the good things? And how do we function and how do we understand that together? We're called upon to love one another in that. And the list goes on and on. I've been trying to sample lots of categories, but I could go on really for a lot longer. And hear me on this, love, when it is shown with heart to one another, at cost, across all those venues and the 1,000 other venues I didn't mention, when that's shown, it glorifies our faithful God. When love has become actual in our dealings with one another, and it makes him known among us. Think about that, how his nature and faithfulness is known better when we love one another in his name. He has purposed that we should help one another know him. And knowing him, believing him, hoping in him, prizing him above all things is the reason for our call to love one another. That call to love one another has its object in knowing him. The other night in this Sunday evening series that we're calling Thriving in Christ, we were reading important verses from Philemon, where the Apostle Paul made a very direct connection between some things. He spoke in Philemon of the sharing, the togetherness, the fellowship of that they had in the faith. They shared it together, and he prayed that sharing, that togetherness in the faith would bear the fruit. How's it go exactly? That would bear the fruit in Philemon, that he would better understand all of the good things in which they share in Christ. Maybe that's too complicated, but I think the idea is that they have good things. We have together good things in Christ. But the together sharing aspect is itself meant to get us better acquainted with the good things we have. That's our calling. And he wrote to Philemon, he said, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." Same context, right? We share in Christ together. And he prays, may that sharing bear the fruit of a greater understanding of the qualities of the things that we share. And then he goes direct to it. Your love has given me great encouragement, great joy, because you have refreshed the hearts of the people, the Lord's people. I'd love to adopt this atmosphere around here, that we take the greatest joy and that we find strength and find encouragement when we watch one another, bless one another in the knowledge of God. You know, and when we love, it does that. I'd like for us also to hear the tone of another passage, Philippians chapter 1, where the apostle speaks to them, and we hear him say at verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day and until now. So the issue is the partnership in this great good news. But listen also, and this picks up at verse 7 in Philippians 1, listen to the affection for one another that he reports in this partnership, okay? He says in verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about all of you because I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you will be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Partnership, deep running affection, all of it to this object of the glory of God expressed in their love for one another. It's not only that they become sort of more informed in knowledge, but that their love insight would become keener, shall we say, in accord with those words, so that God would be glorified. So do you see how important their growing in love, their abounding more and more, is to the idea that God receive glory? That's what it's all about. Let me close with one more thought. Love does come at cost. I've used that phrase. Love does come at cost. For love carries burdens with others. Love will require energies expended, and sometimes more energy than we feel we even have available. Love often puts an immediate desire on hold to pour itself out for the sake of the other. Love looks first to the well-being of the other, and its eyes are alert to need. And love must press through even certain natural social barriers. Love must press through to get close enough to care and to be trusted. And it perseveres for the sake of getting through to the other. And love inquires, and love listens, and love forgives. Of course, the highlight of 1 John 4 was the mercy of God through his love to give reconciliation to us and to give us life at cost. Is the phrase I'm using making sense? Life to give at cost? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, see, that's the rationale, the reasoning. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Put all of that together, I think we have a substantial case to count the matter of our life together as a local congregation worthy of very eager investment of ourselves. This is God's plan to have put us together. He's done it on purpose that he might be known through our loving one another. He's known in other ways too, obviously, but he has put us together. And this is worthy of our most eager investment. Can we make it our whole approach to say, how can I be a blessing to you and to another, looking this way and that way? How can I be a blessing to you that you might know the love and faithfulness of God? How could I do that? How could my loving actions give you that view of who God is? On that inspiration of the glory of God and his love, I think I can grow. I tried to look at this and say, how could I grow in this? How could I grow in love so that his faithfulness and love could be known? How can I grow in that? And I hope you have the same thought. Let's pray together.